This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulscher. Man, I am super excited. I'm so excited.
Why?
Can you sense the excitement?
Yeah, but it's scary.
Because I am happy now. You know why I'm happy? Because we just went through Operation Happiness.
It was a good show.
It was an awesome show. And actually, that's the only thing we can really say, because Christy is still here with us. Christy Ling hanging out with us in the studio. So thank you for hanging out with us as we, man, this is going to be awesome, because I get to talk to someone who I've had a lot of admiration for over the years, but actually have never met. So this will be really, really interesting. And that person that I am talking about is Ariel Ford. So that should be a lot of fun here on Reinvention Radio. So, man, all right, look, as we always do here on Reinvention Radio, first of all, we got to thank all of the folks, the kind folks, the lovely folks, you specifically, who has been one to subscribe and rate and review the show. Your love is felt, and it is definitely appreciated. Don't we love our people, Mary?
We love our people.
We love it. Don't we love our people, Rich?
Yes, we love
it. We do.
People.
All right, so Mary Goulet, Rich Ote, Christy Ling, and Steve Ulscher here in for Reinvention Radio. And again, we're going to bring Ariel forward here in just a second onto the show. All right, let me guys, got to ask you guys this. You've been following what's going on, obviously, in the political world. Not that I want to get political on this, but you know, we sometimes do. Trump's for real. I'm scared.
Like, Trump's for real.
Like, should we be scared? Because I'm a little scared.
It's
you talk about
real.
Operation Happiness,
yeah, it's
Christy. Like, is that going to, what's going to happen? What is seriously going to happen? I mean, because he is going to get the nomination. There's no doubt.
Well, when we talked about electing presidents? Pretty much every single time, once they've been determined who's going to run, I have yet to lose. I pick the exact person. Because I don't think we pick the president that we most want. I pick the president we most are. And unfortunately, right now, as a society overall, we are the selfie, narcissistic. And, you know, I hope we can cover some of that, and Ariel can help us out here
right.
And get rid of some of that. But, and then there's the opposite extreme, anti-establishment Bernie, where it's just kids thinking you can just, you know, hey, let's get everything free, kind of. I don't know. It's scary.
What do you think, Christy?
I think that's really interesting what you just touched
on. About the narcissism?
Yes. And do you think also the reason he scares so many people, well, there's probably many reasons, but some of people might be scared because he reminds them of themselves, right? You have a really good point there. But
yeah.
I don't think we know what's going to happen.
Can we tack that onto the last show's numbers?
No, the show is all fresh.
We got to start a new tally board. You got 1-0 right now.
Rich is 1, word 0.
Okay.
It's that mirroring thing.
It is. And so does that mean that see, I don't know, because like I've always lived in places like Chicago, and now we live in San Diego, and I just don't know what it's like to not live in this sort of urban like environment, because the mentality of people outside of the urban arenas and even some of the states that are south and east, you know, those places, they just think differently. I can't even get my arms around that line of thinking. I mean, it's like, really, we're going to kick out all of the immigrants? Like, who even thinks that way? I don't know.
It's not possible.
Maybe it's because it's the states that don't touch water.
The states that don't touch water. Interesting
theory.
They
seem to be a little different.
They are definitely a little interesting. All right, well, we just lost half of our listenership, so we've got one person left. That's awesome. So thank you for being that listener. We do appreciate it. But, man, people don't like... You talk about, you know, happiness, right? And Ariel will come on us to talk about reinventing soulmates and that sort of thing. And, you know, the relationship between Bill and Hillary, you know, that's whatever.
That's crazy.
Ooh, you gave me the 11s right there. The eyebrows went in and I got the 11s. She's so angry. Well, that's the thing, right? It's like
he's just got a goofy smile behind her.
People love Bill. I mean, like, let's be real. People love Bill.
Well, he's super likable.
He's super likable. And the only reason, I believe that the only reason that Hillary even has a remote chance of winning is because they just want to see what Bill's going to do.
Oh, honey, don't you need to travel to Europe? I'll stay here at the
right,
White House.
All right, I don't know. Actually, let's just, Ariel's on the line right now. Let's just bring her back right there. There you go. All right, so Ariel, you are on with us, correct?
Yes, I'm here. How are you guys?
Hey, how are you doing? So we got an interesting story, by the way, to share with you. Christy Ling has a very interesting story to share with you. And I don't know if you you guys met, right? So you've met Ariel once.
We have met before.
You have met. Okay.
Yes. Well, hi.
Hi, happiness girl.
It's like a reunion.
It is like a reunion.
So we'll share that story, Ariel, of how you impacted Christy's life in a pretty major way. So we'll get to that. But for right now, because obviously you do, I mean, you're an amazing, amazing person. I mean, the work that you do is it's so profound, and it helps so many people on so many levels. When you look at society as a whole right now, Ariel, and more specifically then as we're continuing this political discussion for a second or two, what do you think it means when so many people are in support of a guy like Trump?
Oh, my God. It's very frightening for me. I feel like there's, you know, like I'm an alien from another planet, and I don't relate to these people who are resonating with who he's being mm-hmm. in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and my husband hates it when I get publicly political, but
right.
I'm a Hillary fan, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a Hillary and Bill fan. I like highly competent, hardworking, smart people who know what it takes to get stuff done.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, look, let's be real. People talk about, you know, Trump and how he, you know, is this businessman and we need a business person to run the country because, you know, money comes in, money goes out. It's like, it's not that, and like, it's not rocket science, people. It's like, how are we $12 trillion in debt or whatever it is? I mean, that scares the bejesus out of me. But, you know, when you look at where Trump came from, he actually came from a lot of privilege, right? I mean, I don't even know how he can relate to the majority of the people. And he's talking about, like, he is, if anybody represents the 1%, how could it not be Trump? Right?
He's the epitome.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I think the word relate is misused because he can't relate. How could he possibly relate? He's not relating. He's just, you know, spouting, I'm the greatest, and I'm going to make everything the greatest, and I know how to do it, and I can make a deal. But the truth is, you know, I don't know that he's got the relational skills of what it takes to be a commander-in-chief, to be a diplomat, to get stuff done in a way that's going to work for everybody, not just him.
Yeah, and that is the scary thing, is when you come right down to it, when you come from that level of privilege. I mean, even like in real estate, right? And Mary, you can speak to this because obviously you've been in real estate for quite some time. Do you know what it takes to do a 500 unit building, right? I mean, just think about the financial, I mean, the pockets you have to do a project right. of that size. That was his first project because his dad, was also a very successful real estate developer in his own right, financed that first deal.
That was a long time ago, and prices were, I mean, today that's almost an impossibility. You need a corporation to do it.
For sure, but here's the thing. Trump has never actually been at the point, I mean, he talks about, oh yeah, I was in bankruptcy and that guy's worth $11 billion more than I am. I mean, that was one of his quotes of walking down New York with his, I don't know, 16th wife or whatever it was, talking about how he was, you know, bankrupt and this, that, and the other. But he's never really seen what it's like to be a lower class citizen or middle class citizen from an income perspective.
Right.
Which scares me because is the majority of our population.
Understood. But Hillary and Bill are not broke.
They have
$1 billion.
Yeah. And you know what? Ariel, what's your take on Bernie Sanders, just out of curiosity? Because I know you said you like Hillary, but what is your take on him?
You know, I like him as a human being, and I think I love his passion and his vision, but I know it's not realistic,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think he can get the job done. I would love to see him have a high-level cabinet position with
mm-hmm.
Hillary
mm-hmm.
and, you know, put him where he can do the most good. I think he's got great ideas, but I don't think he's right for the job.
Yeah. And I will say that every time I see him, the first thing that comes to mind is I just want to give him a hug. Like, he's just, you know, like, you don't want him leading our country, but he's the kind of guy that you just want to hug. You know, that's kind of what I think.
You kind of do want to hug him.
You do want to hug him, right?
Yeah.
All right, so.
And I like him, too.
I like him as a person. I don't know that I want him.
Yes.
Just like Ariel said. Yeah, mm-hmm, absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, so Ariel, give us the sort of 64,000 square foot view, which, of course, I'm going back to real estate, of kind of where you're at. And what's the major project on the table for you right now?
Oh, well, I'm really busy doing lots of interviews with folks like you about my new book, which is called Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate, The Practical Guide to Happily Ever After. And it's really fun because I'm able to share information a lot of people just don't have.
Yeah. And it is, it's out now or is it going to be released?
Yeah.
It is
out. It came out at the end of the year, so it's out in bookstores and online now.
Yeah. All right, so here's what we're going to cover, obviously, a lot of what is in that book. But, I mean, Mary, let me ask you this. So when you think about, you're giving me that look. You're like,
I'm just waiting.
You just like, I don't know where he's going with this. But when you think about soulmate, do you think it's possible for someone to have a soulmate?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
What about that twin flame thing? Have you heard of that?
No.
Have you heard of that, Rich? Twin flame?
I've heard of it. I don't really heard anything in depth.
What about you, Chris? Do you think it's possible for someone to have a soulmate?
I think that it's possible for that people have many soulmates.
Many soulmates.
Many soulmates.
And do you know about that twin flame thing?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. All right. So we're going to get Ariel's take on what it means to have a soulmate. If it's, well, obviously she wrote the book on it, so obviously she believes it's possible. And this whole twin flame. But we're going to have a really interesting conversation here about turning your mate into your soulmate as we are reinventing soulmates here on Reinvention Radio. More after.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulscher, along with the lovely round eyebrow Mary Goulet and Richard Tay. Christy Ling hung out with us. That is so sweet. Operation Happiness in the house. All right, so we got Ariel Ford on the line. Let's bring Ariel back in.
Yep.
So, Ariel, before the break, we were talking about soulmates, obviously, because of, well, you've got an awesome book, which is Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate. And I was asking folks here around the table if they, in fact, think that it's possible to have a soulmate. I would venture to guess that your answer is probably yes, but do you have to make that happen, or is it like one of those sort of things that's just out there and you have to find that person?
Well, let me start by defining what I think a soulmate is.
Okay.
So I believe that a soulmate is first and foremost somebody you can completely be yourself with, somebody with whom you share unconditional love, and when you look into their eyes, you have the experience of being home. They just feel like home to you. There's a special connection. And if you accept that definition, then the truth is we all have lots and lots of soulmates, even if they're not romantic soulmates. It could be your kids, your parents, your siblings, your coworkers, your radio co-hosts, your best friend, your cats or your dogs.
Okay.
And in terms of a romantic soulmate, there's tons of possibilities. There's a myth out there that we each only get one big love in a lifetime,
mm-hmm.
and that's just a big fat lie. There's more than enough love in the world for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in soulmates. Do you have to look for them? You know, just like if you needed a new job, you'd have a couple of options. You could sit on the couch and wait for somebody to knock on your door and say, let me hire you. Or you could get visible and get active and get out there and find a job.
Mm-hmm.
So for 99% of mere mortals, it takes a little effort. You need to be visible. You need to get out there. And then there's always the 1% where they're just, you know, have a gold star over their head and they trip in the street and their soulmate catches them. But that's for a romantic comedy.
Right. So let's go through those three things again. So you could be yourself. You said
right?
You look in their eyes and you feel at home. And there was one more thing. What was the other thing?
You can completely be yourself. Oh, you share unconditional love.
Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing?
Yes, I believe that there is. You know, now you don't have to love everything that they do. You don't have to love all their behavior. But, you know, just like, do you have a pet, Steve?
I do. We actually have two dogs, and those dogs are
adorable.
Pure love. Yeah. Well, one of them
is
anyway.
Right. And sometimes sometimes they're bad, right? Sometimes they make a mess, but you love them anyway, right? Mm-hmm. That's what unconditional love is. You have a lot of space for their, you know, well, if they're people, for their humanness, if they're dogs, for just their spiritual beingness. Mm-hmm. So I do believe in unconditional love. It doesn't mean that you can accept all the behavior, however, and you don't have to tolerate bad behavior.
Yeah.
Steve's just softening up right before our
eyes. I know, right? I'm just melting.
By the end of these two shows,
right?
Done.
I know, Operation Happiness and then Reinventing Soulmates. How cool is that? So actually, speaking of which, Christy, you had a pretty interesting story about how you met your boyfriend and, well, you stayed with this man after the first date, and if it wasn't for Errol Ford's teachings, you probably wouldn't have given him another chance.
Well, this is interesting. So, Ariel, this is a story I did not get a chance to tell you when I saw you in the fall, but it's short and very special. So I was on one of your seminars, and I am a big fan of your teachings. I think you're incredibly wise, and when it comes to love, I think you have beautiful things to share. I'm such a fan. I emailed about her new book to my whole list.
Nice.
So my boyfriend that I'm with now, we've been together a year and a half, and he's amazing and wonderful. But I wasn't really open to meeting somebody or dating prior to meeting him. Mm-hmm. But I knew I needed to open myself and educate myself more. And I was on one of your seminars, and you talked about knowing what you want, placing your order. Like, kind of like if you go into a Starbucks and you don't know what you want and you're standing there, they're going to kick you to the back of the line.
Mm-hmm. They are very mean about that.
If you get clear on what you want and you place your order, it's going to help you so much and moving forward. And that resonated with me so much. I actually sat down in my journal. I wrote an order out what I wanted to find in a soulmate. And a few days later, I had my first date with my boyfriend, who I've been with now for a year and a half. And the whole night, I was just looking at him in a completely different way than I would have.
Wow.
If I had not received that advice, I was like, wow, he really fits what I wrote.
And that is so funny, because like, if I did that, what I would be doing is, instead of looking at all the things that like that person was on the list, I'd be looking at all the things that the person wasn't. I'd be like, oh no, they're not that. They're not that. And like, you see, it's like, that's the difference between the, you know, glass being
let's go back to the happiness thing, okay?
Well, she wanted to create that shift, right? So I was so excited when I heard she had this book coming out, because I was like, people need this. Brides need this. People who have been married for a long time need this. Like, mm-hmm. It's, you know, being able to fully accept the person that you're with, to have that shift happen within you is an amazing thing. So yes, thank you. I'm so grateful. Had to share.
Oh, well, thanks for sharing that story.
Yeah. So, Ariel, let me ask you this, because even by when you just look at the title of the book, it almost implies that you have to work at this, right? You have to turn your mate into your soulmate. And my understanding, albeit in this very, you know, you know my mind. If you've listened to the show, you know how my mind works. It doesn't go very deep. But my understanding is, like, you know, you either are sort of that way with someone or you're not. And so what does it mean? So you believe that you can actually turn that mate into a soulmate. But isn't that sort of like, I don't know, isn't that kind of forcing the issue?
No. So here's what happens is that so many of us have bought into the myth that our soulmate will organically and naturally know how to make us happy, and they'll never do anything wrong. And if they're really our soulmate, we're going to live happily ever after. And that's just not reality. Here's what is reality. We meet somebody. Oh, my God, you're my soulmate. We fall in love. Our brain is cascading and flooding with all these really feel-good hormones like dopamine and adrenaline and vasopressin and oxytocin. And we're in this state that we call being in love, which I call is a socially acceptable form of insanity. We are literally crazy in love, or it's also known as the honeymoon phase. And this lasts for 6 to 18 months, and then it's over. And suddenly we're having doubts. Oh, maybe they're really not my soulmate. Oh, they're not so perfect. Oh, we're having issues. And we live like something's wrong, when in fact, this is totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm saying turn your mate into your soulmate, really what I'm saying is I want you to go back and remember what's true, and that what's true is you still love them, and those feelings are still there, but love is much more than a feeling. And most of us were never taught that. We think if I'm feeling love, I must be in love. And the truth is, love is a behavior. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's a commitment. It's an action. And just like there will be days when you might be mad at your dog, but you still love them,
mm-hmm.
there are going to be days when you're with your soulmate and you don't like them very much.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean they're not your soulmate.
Okay,
so... that makes sense?
Yeah, that's
totally.
Awesome. Ariel, can I ask you a question? This is Mary.
Sure. Hi, Mary.
Hi. So I'm in the honeymoon phase with my boyfriend. It's only
You're
been
still glowing. It's sick.
Oh my gosh, he's so awesome.
It's
3 months. So, what can I do since I'm still in the glowing phase to ensure that I'm seeing him clearly and can help sustain this awesome relationship long term?
Because you got the honeymoon goggles on.
But
right.
I'm kind of realistic as well.
I would totally enjoy it, and if I were you, I would make sure that as many as my friends and family can meet him, because they may see things you're not seeing, because what women often do is red flags will come up, but they don't want to act on them, they don't want to ask deeper questions, so they'll just step over what they know to be true until they get their heart broken.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to really be in as many different kinds of situations as possible to see how he reacts and behaves. Not like you're setting him up for a test, but just to get to know him better. And the best piece of advice I ever got ended up coming from my father, which he said, if you really want to get to know somebody, travel with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who they mm-hmm. are really shows up when you're traveling. So, you know, enjoy this as much as possible, and then be as creative as you can to be in lots of different situations, because chances are you'll fall in love even deeper. You'll see even more great characteristics about who he really is as a human being.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because I'm looking on the site right now, which, by the way, is for those who cannot spell, it's Ariel, ARIELLEFORD.com. And I'm looking at the soulmate relationship quiz, and I'm thinking, like, I don't know if I want to know the answer, right? I mean, it's like I've been married 18 years.
And you've been completely ignorant this whole time.
Evidently. I don't know, but it's like, I mean, like, Rich, you had an expression about, like, you change your order or you do so. It's
it
like,
was when Christy was mentioning the Starbucks and said, you know, place the order you want. And I started to think about how with so many choices in the world right now, could that be possibly why people are so non-committal? Because they see they can place another order, place a new order, get some, mm-hmm. you know, new side dish.
It's easy to go to the next soulmate, so to speak, right? So that's a really interesting conversation. And I actually want to have that conversation around commitment. So we'll come back into that. But with, 40-odd seconds here to go in this segment before we got to be rudely interrupted by the commercials that pay the bills around here, let me just ask you this really quick, Ariel. So how long have you been married, and is this your first love? Is this your first soulmate?
You know, I've been married for 18 years. I have had other soulmates in my life, none of whom I married. And mm-hmm. one of my biggest soulmates was a cat. you know, so yes, there were other loves. But, you know, the thing is, you could meet somebody that could fit into the definition of soulmate, and you'd have that connection, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're an ideal life partner for you.
Yeah.
So when we come back from your break, we can talk about what it takes to have a good, long-lasting marriage and what those elements are.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about that, and that will be super, super interesting because, you know, I mean, Lena and I have been married 18 years, and it's like, you know, we want to keep getting better and better, so we're going to learn how to do that here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulsher, Mary Willey, Rachel Tay, and Christy Lang joining us in the house, which is awesome. And we are talking to Ariel Ford today. And Ariel, before the break, you were going to start talking a little bit about how to have a long-lasting marriage and some of the ideas and, well, basically what you have found to be effective over the years. So you want to share some of those with us?
Yeah, well, I first want to say what the elements of a great long-term relationship are. Okay. Is obviously having some chemistry, but that is actually not the most important part of it. You want to have connection, communication, and most importantly, a shared vision for the future. You know, so if you're somebody who absolutely loves to travel the world and you're adventurous and you want to go places, you're obviously not going to be happy with an agoraphobic. Mm-hmm. You know, or if you're an animal lover and you've always had two dogs and three cats, you don't want to be with somebody who has dander issues and pet allergies.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some really big things to know, which is why creating a soulmate wish list is so important, because you want some of those items on there, as well as the heart traits and qualities that you need in somebody. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about their height, weight, and eye color. You know, are they caring, kind, compassionate, generous, adventurous? You know, what is most important to you?
Yeah.
And the other thing that's really important to know is that there's no such thing as perfection. You know, I think the word perfection needs to be changed to pure fiction.
Ooh.
And yet we're all brainwashed to be seeking perfection in ourselves, in our mates, in our kids. You know, HGTV wants our homes to be perfect, but it's never going to be that way.
Yeah, but how do you know, though, when it's like time to cut the rope, or like what to compromise on, right? Because like you're going to come up with this list and you're going to have all of these different things that are like super important to you. And as you said, it's pure fiction, right? I mean, like no one's going to meet all of that criteria. Like Christy had her list, and you know, there was probably, you know, I don't know, seven. Like, how do you know? Is it like 7 out of 10 is like, okay, let's move forward? It's like a, you know, it's like that barometer kind of thing. Like, what's the over under? Like, going in gambling terms,
you know,
like, what's
it's not that mathematic,
okay?
It's more about what are your deal breakers, you know, not so much what didn't I get, because pretty much you can, outside of, you know, wanting to be monogamous and having companionship. Other needs can get met other places, but there may be deal breakers, you know, like you may want to be with somebody who is going to be monogamous, who isn't a liar, who doesn't smoke, you know, those things may be deal breakers for you. And the other thing to know is that there's a marriage researcher at the University of Washington named Dr. John Gottman, and what he's discovered is that every couple, not just some couples, but every single couple has a minimum of 9 irreconcilable differences. These are things on which you are never, ever going to agree on. And yet we're expected to coexist happily.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways to do it. If you have good communication skills, if you can seek creative solutions, if you agree to love and respect each other and agree to disagree on certain things, you know, like a Republican and a Democrat can be happily married. You know, but they may agree not to discuss politics. These things are possible, but if you're living like something's wrong because you're having disagreements, you're going to have to live alone, because there's nobody out there who's going to be your total clone. And if they were your clone, there'd be no sexual chemistry at all, because you need polarity to have chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like my grandpa's list, Steve. Remember, I was saying, Errol, you weren't here when we were discussing it, but my grandpa said if you're going to be married to someone for the rest of your life, they might as well give them at least 10 things to put on a list that kind of get out of jail free card kind of thing. And then when you're 20 years in, you just reach the point where if you lived that way with them and you gave them the love and you had that communication, that you eventually just said, must be on the list.
Wow. And it's funny because I don't remember that conversation at all.
Oh, you may have been looking for the potato chips.
Is that what I was doing? I was buying the sour cream and onions, which is entirely possible. So let me ask you this. So do you believe that it is possible in today's society and that it should be still a part of marriage and quote-unquote soulmates and so and so forth, to have monogamy as a part of that? What is your take on that in terms of, because you said you could have multiple soulmates, so if that's
right,
the case...
that doesn't mean you have to have sex with them.
Okay.
You know, monogamy works, and the other stuff doesn't. I've been around on the planet for a long time. I've got to observe polyamorous couples, and it doesn't work. Eventually, if you have three people, if you've got a triangle going, what one person gets left out and gets hurt. You know. So, and these days, you know, in my generation, you could have all the sex you wanted and it wouldn't kill you.
Yeah.
But in today's world, you know, sex can kill you.
Yeah, literally.
You know, and it could kill your spouse and your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of good arguments for monogamy. I'm a big proponent of monogamy. And there are certain men that are, their brains are just not wired to be monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if they have too much vasopressin or too little vasopressin.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope is someday there'll be, you know, a stick that he can pee on and you can see, oh, if it's blue, he's monogamous. If he's pink, he isn't.
A cheater stick.
And then you can find out right away.
Yeah, but what if he ate, like, a lot of asparagus that day? You know, every time I eat asparagus, I'm like, what is, oh, that's me. Never mind. That's like, that's what I figured. All right, so.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you do that too? Everybody does that when they eat asparagus.
Just stop.
All right, sorry. So here, my other question to you is, you know how like some people out there, Dr. Laura, like those sort of people would say that you have to stay together if you have kids until they're 18 because they need, you know, the mother, the father, they need that family unit. Is there ever an okay time to stay with someone even if you know they are not your soulmate?
You know, I think that's just an individual choice that you have to make. And really, the decision needs to be made, what's in the best interest for the child? If it's, you know, if you can cohabitate with a spouse and still be civil and kind and loving to each other, even though you may have separate lives, well, maybe that is in the best interest for the child. But if you guys are constantly fighting and there's all this bad energy, how could that be good for anybody? You know, there's all this new research that has shown that the single most important thing you can do for your own well-being and for your longevity is to be in a happy marriage. Being in a happy marriage, you'll heal faster and live longer, more so than eating organic food or meditating or doing yoga or doing green juice fast. And if you're not in a good relationship and you're stressed and suffering and having toxic thoughts and they're the same way, you know, then figure out a reasonable way to co-parent, you know, because when you're happy, your kids will be happy.
That is very true. I was 5 when my parents divorced, and I can honestly say I am so grateful to them.
That they did.
Yes, they both remarried wonderful people, and now they're both in long-term marriages with the right people, very happy. And I'm so grateful that not only did they make that decision, which was definitely in my best interest, but that they went off and did find soulmates that worked for them for their life. So coming from a child of divorce, I am so grateful that they made that decision.
Good. You know, it's interesting because when Christy was on that last hour, and if you're listening to the podcast, check out Reinventing Radical Bliss with Christy Ling there. But in that last hour, we were talking about nature versus nurture. What is your take on nature versus nurture? In other words, when you look at relationships in general, do you believe that it's possible to learn how to have a good relationship? Because the children of divorce are exponentially more likely to get divorced themselves versus, you know, children of parents who stay together, they are exponentially more likely to stay together. So do you believe if you are the child of a, you know, of a parental, you know, of your parents who got divorced, do you believe that it is possible for you to still have a meaningful long-term relationship? Or it's kind of that whole nature versus nurture conversation.
Yeah, no. All of this is learnable. You know, most of us did not grow up in a home with two parents who magically met and fell in love and treated each other with loving kindness every single day and role modeled for us, you know, how to have the perfect relationship. That didn't happen except on television, you know. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. for the rest of us, we need to commit ourselves to becoming students of love.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to be kind and loving and compassionate and communicate clearly and in turn your mate into your soulmate, I actually give you scripts on how to have the hard conversations in a loving, supportive way that will get to a win-win for everybody. So it's all totally learnable no matter what background you came from. You just have to commit a little time and energy and intention and attention onto your love life.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I was on Ariel4.com and was taking the soulmate relationship quiz. I don't know what this means exactly, but I got 50% super soulmate and 50% soulmate potential. So which is it?
you're in great shape. You got plenty of soulmate potential. Listen, you're obviously a very brilliant person with a big heart. There's more than enough love out there. You just got to get visible and get intentional and just... Here's one thing I'm going to give you a little secret.
Please.
You can start your soulmate relationship today. Because according to quantum physics, there's this thing called the unified field. And in the unified field, the past, the present, and the future are all happening at once. And we are all connected to everything and everybody. So knowing that, you and your soulmate are already connected. You just got to start the conversation inside your head today and live each day with excitement and anticipation that any moment now, you're going to trip over your soulmate in the physical form.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. So let's do this because we got to pay some more bills around here. Otherwise, Wade gets really, really mad at us. But we're going to come back and chat a little bit more here with Ariel Ford on Reinvention Radio as we are reinventing soulmates. And we are going to talk also about her book, which is definitely something that I am going to be picking up after this show, which is How to Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate. Some more with Ariel Ford and the gang here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, we're talking to Ariel Ford here today on Reinvention Radio as we are reinventing soulmates. Speaking of soulmates, you know, it's kind of interesting because business partners can kind of be like soulmates. And that's like a key relationship, right? I mean, that people have in their life. I don't know if you know this or not, Ariel, but I'm on your site right now. Alex Mandojian is actually my business partner. I don't know if you knew that.
And your soulmate?
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm a major Alex fan.
Yeah, a lot of people are. And he's a good dude. Alex is, we're working together on a new program, which is Push Button Influence, which I actually think you threw your hat in the ring on, which we really appreciate your support on that. So thank you for that. So
you're welcome.
Absolutely. All right. So before the break, we were talking about all sorts of interesting, fun things. But Christy, you had a really great question that we were talking about here. So why don't you share that with Ariel?
Yeah, I was saying, you know, what if somebody listening right now is unhappy in their relationship? And they want to turn it around? What are some places to start? Where should they start creating change there?
You know, as long as what they're unhappy about doesn't have anything to do with abuse or addiction or bad behavior, in which case you need professional therapy. But for anything else, I would start by first getting to a very neutral place. You know, don't do this when you're super angry or upset about something, but start with a neutral place and write them a love letter. Write your mate a love letter and really recall the early days of what first attracted you to them and when you fell in love and where you were and what you saw and what you observed. And put yourself back into that space. And if something comes up that, you know, irritates or annoys you about it, ask yourself, you know, is what they did a reason not to love them? Because nobody wakes up in the morning thinking, how could I make Christy miserable today? What could I do to really drive her crazy? But we live like people wake up in the morning to, you know, intentionally trying to harm us. Mm-hmm. So I would say the place to start is to write a letter where you really gush about all the things you most admire, love, trust, and respect about them, and then put that letter in a beautiful I love you just because card and put it somewhere where they'll find it when you're not with them. And that would be a place to start and open a conversation. And then, you know, in Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate, there are 16 other exercises, little fun, simple baby steps that you can do to reignite communication and restart passion and re-envision the one you're with. And the reason you want to do this is because we all know that 50% of first marriages end in divorce. But what most people don't know is that 64% of second marriages and 73% of third marriages end in divorce.
Wow. Yeah.
And the thing that's consistent in all three of those marriages
is you.
Is you.
Right.
Right. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's yeah. partially...
So as long as you're thinking the other person has to change, and there may be things that need to be changed, and I'll show you how to do that, mm-hmm. but as long as you're pointing the finger and it's all the problems over there, you don't stand a chance, because even if you leave this person, if you're not working on yourself, you're going to recreate the same relationship with the next person.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Rich?
It was, she led right into it, so it was perfect. I was interrupting her, I guess. The question was, we've been talking about changing what we could do for that other person, and this sounds like it could be similar to listening to the stewardess and taking care of our own happiness first, making sure we're happy, because good luck for the other person if we're unhappy ourselves first.
Mm. Right, exactly. And I'll share a really quick story about the Obamas that relates totally to this. So for your listeners who don't love Obama, this isn't political, just keep an open mind. But what most people don't know about them is 12 years ago, they nearly got divorced. Michelle had this really big corporate job. Barack was just starting off on his political career. They had two, you know, toddlers in the house. They were drowning in debt from their Ivy League law school careers, and they were not getting along at all. And Barack had told his grandmother that Michelle nagged him all the time, and he didn't think they were going to make it. And Michelle had told her mother that things were just a mess, that they might get divorced. It was a big, big mess.
Mm.
So one morning, Michelle wakes up about 5 in the morning, and all she can think about is that she really wants to go to the gym and work out. She's feeling sort of, you know, she hasn't worked out in months, unloved, unheard, unseen, overweight. And she's feeling guilty because she knows the girls are going to be getting up and they're going to need breakfast. But then she looks over at her sleeping husband, who was editor of Harvard Law School Review, and figures he'll figure out breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to the gym, and while she's working out, she has this epiphany, and she realizes that she has been waiting for Barack to make her happy, and she sees that only she can make herself happy, and she comes to a couple of decisions of what has to change. She goes home. When she walks in the back door, Barack and the girls are at the kitchen table eating cereal, and she makes some announcements, and the first one is she's going to take her mother up on the offer to help her with the shopping and the driving and the cooking with the girls. And then she tells Barack that every night that he's in town, he's going to have dinner with the whole family at 6:30. Every Sunday is now family day, and every Thursday is date night.
Mm.
And just by making those few announcements, it totally turned their marriage around, and anybody can see, even if you don't like them, you can see that they're a very happily married family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why? Yeah. Because she took personal responsibility for her own happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, and Christy was talking about that on the other show as well. But isn't it also the power of a declaration, right? And then enrolling other people into your vision. How important is that in the scheme of things?
Oh, I think it's really important, you know. I mean, they've already proven if you think you're going to do something, you only have a 10% chance of making it happen. Hmm. You know, if you announce it to somebody else, it goes up to 50%. If you actually write it down and make a commitment to another person, mm-hmm. you have a 90% chance of it happening. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you've got to speak your truth and then get accountability partners.
Yeah, for sure. Rich?
Oh, I was just going to say, we can't do these shows on Blab anymore, too, because I get an ulterior and I just look like
I'm... Oh, look at you.
Oh, Rich is getting all worked up. That's so sweet. So, not to dry up your wells there, Rich, but Ariel, let me ask you this. I mean, the subtitle is A Practical Guide to Have Happily Ever After. Is that a fantasy, or is that possible?
Well, you know, I would have liked it to have said A Practical Guide to Happily Even After.
Mm.
But the publisher wanted Ever After. Yes, I think, and I've seen it in my own marriage, you know, we're happy 90% of the time. And when stuff comes up, we just deal with it quickly and we have lots of skills on how to do it. Do we still annoy each other? Yes, because we're human, you know. Brian's biggest need is to be listened to and heard. He's the youngest child. It's his core wound. I'm an oldest child. I could care less what anybody else is thinking. I'm only interested in my own thoughts and what's in it for me, and I'm a terrible listener, you know?
Yeah.
So there are days when he just goes, "You're not listening to me." And half of those days he'll laugh and say, "Oh, yeah, that's my issue." And then the other half I have to say, "Oh, yes, you're right. I'm not listening. Could you say that again?"
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
but it never really goes away. We just have skills to deal with it.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so let's do this. First and foremost, everybody go get this book, Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate, A Practical Guide to Happily Ever After, from the amazing Ariel Ford. If you want more information about Ariel Ford, I assume, Ariel, that people should go to arielford.com. Is that the best place to go?
Yeah, or if you go to soulmatesecret.com, which is easier to remember, it goes there too. And you can get the first three chapters of the book at soulmatesecret.com for free.
Awesome. All right. Well, Ariel, it's just been amazing having you here on the show. I feel like we got a little love fest here, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
Because wow. First Christy with Operation Happiness, and then Ariel Ford. How amazing
great.
Is that? Well, turn your mate into your soulmate.
Kelly made a good point on Blab. She said, you didn't make Christy cry, but you made Richard cry.
Aww.
So, you
know. That's so sweet.
I know. It's
it took two episodes.
It took two episodes, but we finally got somebody to cry in studio. Yay! All right, awesome. So again,
tears of joy.
Tears of joy. All right, for those who have rated and reviewed and subscribed to the show on iTunes or Stitcher, whatever your preferred medium is, thank you very much for that. Please keep doing so. And we've got a lot of amazing guests coming up. So, wow, Mary, Rich, Christy, it's been a fun day here, guys. Really enjoyed being with you. And we'll be back with more Reinvention Radio. The next time, we'll talk to you guys really soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.